It's 1988.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Hi, neighbors. First, I want to remind you that the Paracast is brought to you this week by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 85,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/Paracast. So, Chris O'Brien, we haven't talked a lot about this lately. This project, this ongoing project you've done, setting up these webcams, what's the status of that? Give us the background, please.
Well, we're streaming with our base station camera. We're waiting to get the All Sky Cam sent out from California to the San Luis Valley. The All Sky Cam is a horizon-to-horizon 180-degree camera that basically is set up almost like a fisheye lens to get the entire sky in one frame.
So it's like almost a panoramic view?
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
And it covers the whole sky like a big punch bowl. And our software designer, Andrew, who was on the show with us briefly with Robert Hastings, he's recently retired from Cisco, and he's going to be establishing coordinate data on this All Sky Cam. It will detect upon motion, and then that will turn on the record function for this first camera, which will be the first of seven. Of course, these things cost money, and it takes time to obviously program the code and do the kind of work that needs to be done. Andrew has a bunch of stuff he is finishing up in his personal life, which will then free him up to devote more time to the SkyCam project. But we've had a couple of interesting little things that have been seen, you know, real time. I tried to capture one. There is a function in the administrative program where you can hit a capture button and take a JPEG still of whatever it is. We don't have record on motion capability yet, and when we did our two-week beta test last year, it took a couple months to go through all the data because it was just recording full-time. It takes a lot of time to wade through that much data.
Well, I guess also you have to have a pretty large hard drive to store everything.
Yeah, it was about 68, 70 gig, I think, is what it ended up. I think the amount of storage space that we needed for that two-week beta period. But
so basically you need two iPhones at 32 gigabytes a piece to carry everything. But if it's based on motion, it's going to sense something moving and then turn the cameras on?
Well, the cameras will be on. It'll then trigger a record function.
Okay.
Which will then record the streaming data of whatever event that it is. And once we get multiple cameras up with the software, you know, the coordinated software, then we'll be recording multiple camera views of a single event.
Now, photo experts are going to say, what kind of resolution do you get for these images?
Well, obviously, it depends on the distance away from the camera. But if you have multiple cameras, chances are one's going to be close enough to really glean some data. Just being able to triangulate multiple camera views on a particular single event, that's going to be the payoff right there. Our resolution is fairly high. We're not at high def. We don't have the bandwidth, unfortunately, to have a high def image. But we're at 680, I think, by 420.
Okay, so basically you're getting a standard what they call VGA image. Those specs are slightly off, but it would be they call a VGA image, kind of like the older style webcams. And that's decent. I mean, if something is really several miles away in the distance and not very large, you're not going to see what it is. But if Bigfoot is waving at you, you're going to know about it.
We have 36 times optical zoom, too. So so that's going to bring it up close and personal if it's within, you know, 30, 40 miles.
Do you have some kind of real-time control over that?
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm able to pan, tilt, zoom, you know, rotate. So if you get phone calls,
hey, Chris, we've got some UFOs there, or we just saw Bigfoot and he's in the northwest quadrant or something, you could do some adjustments.
Yeah, we could manually zero in on something like that. What we want to do right now is bundle this particular live feed and present it, you know, on the Paracast as a feature so that you can tune in anytime and see what's going on in the San Luis Valley. But right now, the only way that you can view it is by having the keys for the administrative panel, and that would allow you to operate the camera. And we don't want a bunch of people being able to operate the camera at this point. So we just want to bundle the actual signal and then have it as a view only.
I think in all fairness, too, what we should do is get some kind of corporate sponsorship for that. I think that would be very, very fair. Maybe we could work out something. If you run a business, even a small business, and you have some kind of national or worldwide goals, you know, you can write us news@theparacast.com, and if you want to sponsor this webcam feed, you know, let us know. This is not just a commercial thing. It costs money to buy these cameras. It costs money for the bandwidth. You can't do this stuff free. And without corporate sponsorships, you know, it's not as if you're going to get money from Uncle Sam or something, because the uncle is rather low in terms of having a reasonable bank account. They spend so much money on those $400 toilet seats that they really can't handle anything more.
Yeah, we'll slap a little logo down there in the lower, you know, right-hand side of the image, and maybe every hour we'll give you a little 30-second commercial.
Or it's just something, you know, streaming, but not in Flash. We don't use Flash, you know.
No.
No Flash. Flash is verboten. Because it doesn't work on 250 million iPhones and iPads and iOS devices, so it doesn't happen. We're getting awfully technical, but the key is here, if we're going to find out what's happening out there, and you have all these events, if you can't cover an area with frequent activity with a full-time camera and some way of storing the information, it's not going to help. You can't assume that you send a crew out there and the crew will always find something or ever find anything.
Well, there's no substitute for hard data.
Well, this is a commendable thing. We'll have more information on this in the near future. But today on the Paracast, we're going to explore something we've laughed about, okay? I mean, for nearly 6 years on the Paracast, we have laughed at people who believe in what is called exopolitics, whatever that is, okay? There's a movement called exopolitics, and it goes beyond disclosure. Because here we're dealing, I guess, with establishing or furthering diplomatic relations with ET. So we've talked about it occasionally, and now you've located a vocal advocate, Chris, for exopolitics. Tell us more.
I became aware of Ed Komarek's work a number of years ago. He's been one of these kind of behind-the-scenes guys. Pretty bright, I think. He's very well-intentioned, has been able to make a lot of connections within the kind of the shadow world of intelligence operatives, people that are in the know, let's say, you know, people that have friends that are within the government and the military. And he's done a pretty good job of researching and presenting, I think, a more of a down-to-earth view of what the exopolitical scenario and situation is all about. Unlike some of the other more vocal, higher profile, over-the-top true believers, I think Ed tempers his enthusiasm with a lot of good research. And he's somebody I've wanted to get on the show for quite a while, and we're very fortunate to have him be on the Paracast here today.
Okay, that's Ed Komarek, and he's going to talk about exopolitics, and we are not going to hold back on the questions, okay?
Oh, no.
No, none of that stuff here. You know, we're going to be fair with him. We're going to be balanced with him. We're going to cover what he thinks is the evidence about this exopolitics stuff, whether he can really prove it or whether it's a movement that, of course, is just smoke and mirrors. I don't know. I have to tell you, I'm a skeptical. I want to put my cards on the table right now that it's going to have to be a hard sell for me. But then if he is willing to answer any question we pose to him, if he is willing to show us his stuff, whether or not he has evidence to confirm this exopolitics and what it means, we're happy to present it. He's been amazingly prolific, by the way. You look at Ed Komarek online, you'll find an incredible amount of stuff. He's not shy about what he believes, which is fine with us. But if he doesn't answer the questions, we're not going to take him seriously. We're going to find out. You're listening to Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out, iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com. Fate Magazine provides true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now at 1-800-728-2730 or visit their website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S., unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
We are now going to explore the world of exopolitics with Ed Komrek, who's been studying UFOs for what, Ed, 40 years?
About that, maybe a little over that now.
All right, so what attracted you to the subject? Before we even get into the stuff about the exopolitics, what attracted you to this?
You mean the field, the UFO field in general?
Yes.
Okay. It really started back when I left for Alaska. I went to a one-year college down here at a local college, and I went to University of Alaska, Fairbanks, Alaska, where I went for 2 years of college. And I went up there when I was about 17 and went to college. And I used to hang out, I think it was the middle of winter, you know, it was probably about 60 below zero, and us college kids would hang out playing pool and drinking beer down on the bars in Fairbanks, downtown Fairbanks. One day I just wandered out, you know, took a little walk and to get some fresh air, and I came to this little New Age bookstore, and I said, you know, this is interesting. And I opened up the door, and there was, you know, the scents of incense, and it was warm, and there were little, you know, chimes, and opened up the door, and there were all these books on reincarnation, UFOs, paranormal, and I just felt right at home. Then later, I think they brought a reincarnational specialist up to Fairbanks to lecture, and she did a lecture and did a little mini reading on me, and some of those things started coming true, and so I got interested in that. So I really got into the really big picture to begin with, but then I got into UFOs because you could kick the tires. There was something solid.
Yeah, let's back up a little bit. This psychic or whatever was saying things about you that were true?
Well, they turned out to be true.
Well, how about a couple of examples just to see what they said and what the reality was?
Okay, she said that I would be like a statesman, but not in the normal sense of the word, like a politician, but not in the normal sense of the word, more like a statesman, and that I would be in the newspapers and in the media. When all that started happening and becoming true, I got more interested, so I sent off for a, you know, I'm pretty cheap, so I sent off for $30 for an extensive reading with three questions and details on past lives and whatever. And she did all that, and then she was so good that she actually named the names of people like Susan, Carol, key people that were going to be in my life. And darned if it didn't happen, just about every one of them happened, you know, over the time of my life. You know, now looking back, I'm 63 years old. My birthday was just the other day. And that was, you know, I don't know, that was well over, what, 40 years ago. You know, at the time, I was saying, well, maybe this is true, maybe it's not, you know, but then some of these things started coming true, so I got interested in that, and I got interested in the paranormal, I got interested in telepathy, you know, I did a lot of reading. One of the things I learned from my father was, in any field that you go into, the first thing to do is go in and study the literature, and then, you know, start testing out the literature for what's real and what's not real, but you got to, you know, get a grasp of the overall literature. There's no point in reinventing the wheel, and so that's what I started doing, and so I did a lot of reading back in the 1970s. I had a little cabin. I learned from Alaska that I could live very, you know, very frugally in a small cabin with very low overhead, and my life would be my own. And it's been that way through my whole life. So I've been able to dedicate my life to what I wanted to do, not, you know, having most of my time tied up, you know, earning a wage or, you know, working for somebody else or whatever. So I have had a lot of time to investigate.
Then, okay, do I take it then you don't have a day job?
No, I don't have I retired in my early 20s. I worked up on the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. I worked for Fish and Game up there during the summers when I was in Alaska. I'd come down for the winters, put the money into real estate, and I would tend to buy a little bit of land, fix it up, build me a cabin or a house on it, and then sell it. And then I did that several times in my life. And so with an overhead probably that runs on the average of $500 a month, you know, I've been able to do that. It doesn't take a lot of work to maintain that kind of a lifestyle, and especially when you do everything for yourself, pretty much.
Ed, you should mention about your dad being a forestry expert and a scientist in his own right. So you were born and raised and steeped in the scientific method.
Oh, yes, because I was actually mentored by Herb Stoddard. He was a good friend of Otto Leopold, one of the fathers of ecology. So Otto Leopold is the father of ecology that most people know about from because they've read Sandhill Almanac because he was more available to the public. But Herb Stoddard did the real scientific research on the bobwhite quail that brought him into being a father of ecology. And then there was another person, Dr. Ali, in the University of Chicago. Before Dad had to quit because of the Depression, he was mentored also by Dr. Ali. So I was surrounded by some of the top scientists in the fields of natural history. A lot of people may not realize this, but the ecology actually evolved from the old collectors, because the collectors were out in the field collecting animals and studying them and watching their habits and how they interacted with each other and all this sort of thing, as whereas the taxonomists, you know, they were back in the basement, you know, full of chemicals, and they were sorting species out from subspecies and all this kind of thing. But the collectors realized that these animals are in relationship. These animals and plants were in relationships. And Dad used to argue with the taxonomists early on, and they said, you know, there's no such thing as a relationship. Show me a relationship. You know, pick it up where I can pick it up, touch it, feel it, see it. You know, there's no such thing as a relationship. And Dad never could convince those old taxonomists that there was a basis to ecology and that relationships were real and interactions between species, you know, were real, even though they weren't physically substantial. And so in a way, maybe that helped me, you know, in the paranormal field. And I've noticed there's been parallels that have been very interesting, because he got into fire ecology. He was probably the first real fire ecologist. He fought fire exclusion policies of the Forest Service for his whole life.
Explain what that is, those of us who don't examine forestry.
Okay. What happens in nature is that fire is a natural part of the environment. You know, like for you guys out west, you got ponderosa pine. And that ponderosa pine has really flammable needles, and over time the needles build up, but the bark is very tough, so it can take a pretty good fire. But what happens is that natural fire started by lightning or by Indians or by man would burn the forest clean every year, 2 or 3 years, and the forest would be healthy and the trees wouldn't get killed. It'd knock the brush back, and where the grasses and legumes would be there for wildlife and everything. But when they started fire exclusion policies, they'd keep fire out, the needle litter and the dead branches and dead trees starts building up on the forest floor until you create a catastrophic situation.
So basically, if you mess with Mother Nature, you get yourself in trouble. That's the basic premise.
Well, you mess with Mother Nature and you don't know what you're doing. What happened was a lot of these early foresters came out of the big cities like Chicago. When you remember the Chicago fires, they saw it fired, you know, destroyed homes and people. And out west, there were some big fires back before in the early turn of the century. And these fires burned up whole towns out there, prairie fires and whatever.
I'll tell you what, we're not going to get into a whole discussion about the environment and ecology, except insofar as it might relate to ET and other subjects. We're talking exopolitics, which is what we're going to start to pick up on in the next segment. You're listening to Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
This time of year, between the holidays, bad weather, and sick days, getting everyone in the same room for a meeting can be impossible. And that's why I recommend GoToMeeting by Citrix. I love the special GoToMeeting app. I want you to try it free today. Go to the App Store or Android Market to download the free app and start joining GoToMeeting sessions from anywhere. And host your own meetings with a free 30-day trial. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click Try It Free, and use the promo code PODCAST for GoToMeeting.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with a WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike-anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The Maine name in military supply.
After work, I just want to plop down on the couch and watch TV alone. Come on, don't be like that. Who are you?
I'm you, 20 years ago, when you were full of energy, better shape, great attitude, and you didn't do so bad with the ladies.
Now that you're older, your testosterone levels are dropping and, well, you're not the guy you used to be.
I'd give anything to feel like you again.
Just try Ageless Male. It's a natural supplement, proven in a clinical trial to boost testosterone 61%. And within normal healthy ranges, it's not an injection, not a prescription, and with healthy testosterone levels, you can feel the energy again, not to mention a better mood and more drive in your romantic life.
More drive, huh? I really need to try Ageless Male. Where's my phone?
You're laying on it.
Oops.
Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Just call 1-800-497-8345. 1-800-497-8345. 1-800-497-8345.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Ed Komrek has been studying the paranormal for over 40 years. He's written lots of information about exopolitics, and now let's take it full circle. We're talking about the environment, about the concerns about possibly tampering with Mother Nature. But now let's bring it back to the UFO world. Okay, you got interested in the paranormal. What about UFOs? Did you ever see one?
Okay, to bring this back before we get to that, the fire suppression was involved. Some people that were high up in the Forest Service and whatever had an emotionally negative impression about fire because of what had happened, you know, to the whole cities being burned up. So they tried to apply that to nature. They felt if it's bad for man, then it's got to be bad for nature. And they didn't know what they're doing, and they created these huge fire accumulations that even today blow up and burn huge sections of the western United States. And in that fire suppression are special interests. So even if you start getting people trained to use fire properly and remove the fire exclusion policy, you get these special interests involved. And this is exactly the same thing that happens in the UFO field, in the field of exopolitics, is because special interests started getting involved, and they start distorting the truth and the process for financial reasons.
Okay, what financial reasons would impact studying UFOs and possible ET visitations?
Well, the technology involved with extraterrestrial life and UFOs, field propulsion systems, cheap energy technologies involving, you know, fields from the zero point energy, a lot of this kind of stuff is very profitable if you don't have any competition, if you create a monopoly. So I kind of came up with this idea, you know, with the idea that basically what we're up against in the UFO field that's causing the continued cover-up of UFOs is that there is like an alien resource cartel, like what you have with the oil cartel. You know, in the oil cartel, you have nations that are organized to keep the price of oil up and to, you know, suppress some, you know, other technologies that may, you know, cause problems.
So therefore, the threat of possible alien technology, which maybe makes a few assumptions. If we assume
the profitability of reverse engineering.
No, I understand. But if we are able to get a hold of an advanced alien aircraft, somehow reverse engineer it, discover new, cheaper forms of propulsion, whatever, the oil companies, the vested interests don't want that to happen, so they stop it. Is that
Yeah, on
what
the
you're
one
saying?
Hand, then on the other hand, you have companies like General Electric who've been involved in this from the get-go. You know, if you really want to get into the origins of the cover-up and everything, you need to go back to the early 1940s, and especially in the late 40s of Operation Paperclip. You know, when we brought all the Nazi scientists over right after the war for the rocket programs. Well, General Electric was a subcontractor or a contractor to the Army at the time for all the rocket research, you know, on the early rockets, you know, von Braun and Olberg and all those. They also brought over ones that had been working in Germany, looks like, with field propulsion systems, and that it may have been a crash as early as 1938 or 36 in Germany.
Okay, we have maybes here. Okay, so let's just kind of bring this to a core question here. Okay, to reverse engineer alien technology, we have to possess the alien technology. In 1938, you say there may have been a crash. Where did this possible crash occur? What evidence is there for it?
You can go on the internet, and I've got it linked in into my articles and on this the book that I'm writing right now. Rewrite of a lot of my articles. You might type in German UFO crash 1938. If that's not it, 36, and you'll probably get it.
Okay, so basically, it's on the internet. It means it's true.
It doesn't mean it's true, but that information is there. And you can study up on that. There are documents that show that the Germans were involved in this kind of technology. That can also be accessed on the internet. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true, but it's accessible on the internet. And I think you can prove to your own satisfaction that it is true that some of these documents and drawings. Technical drawings are real.
Okay, I have a reference here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about a UFO that supposedly crashed in the Black Forest in Nazi Germany in 1936, right?
Yeah, it's okay. 36 to 38.
Okay, so
right
if
there.
It crashed, it meant, therefore, that these famous scientists like von Braun were called in to check this crash of an alien spacecraft. Mm-hmm. And supposedly they tried to reverse engineer something.
Yeah, but, so there was two. Was two programs. There was a public program that when the V2s started dropping bombs on London, everybody knew about those rockets, right? And jet airplanes at the end of the war. But there was this parallel space program or aerospace program that seems to have begun about then with the Germans first, and then later it was when we moved the Germans rocket scientists, we also moved some of these scientists involved in field propulsion systems or connected to it also. And there's one guy showed up here just recently in this Parsec interview that Stephen Greer had done with this computer security expert. And he brought up that he had met at Tonopah. That's part of Nellis.
They were successful in these developments, what technology came from it? The V2 rocket?
No. The V2 rocket was
the public.
It was the public phase.
Right,
overall space program. But
faced
it was a
Excuse me, Ed. Okay, faced with the setbacks, the end of World War II. Nazi Germany wants to save the Reich. They couldn't bring out some alien technology to make it happen?
Well, that's what they were working on, but they didn't get it to the point where they could use it like they were able to use the rockets because they didn't have a lot of time. Apparently they got into it in the late 30s, not any earlier than that.
But where is the evidence? I see the references online. There's dozens of references to a UFO crash in 1936 and reports. Where is a smoking gun?
Okay, what do you mean? What kind of evidence are you talking about?
Evidence that it happened, not just because somebody writes it on the internet. What evidence is there that such a crash took place?
Well, it's not whether somebody writes on the internet. It depends who writes it, whether that person is credible, who it is. Are you talking, for instance, both Oberth and von Braun said that extraterrestrials were real, basically. And they made those statements, and those quotes are available. I mean, they're pretty
credible.
Okay,
so those
people,
quotes are available where?
So, but if you're looking for hard evidence.
Ed, where are those quotes available? What they said about ET?
Okay, just go to my blog, exopolitics.blogspot.com/.
Okay, but instead of having everybody look it over, why don't you summarize it? Where did they make these statements?
Okay. I'm going to have to go and see what's written with the quote. You know, you can look it up. Anybody can just put in a search engine, Oberth, extraterrestrial, and you'll come up with probably with the quote. Do you want to do that or me do that?
Okay, so if I look up Oberth and E.T.?
Yeah, look up Oberth and extraterrestrial.
Oberth and extraterrestrial. This is live research, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right.
Oberth UFO.
Okay, Oberth and extraterrestrial.
Yeah, I just
okay. And I'm looking up his Wikipedia entry. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's just... Okay, he was obviously a supporter of the ET hypothesis for UFOs.
Mm-hmm.
We understand that. Okay, so let's... Okay, that's pretty much confirmed. He believed that UFOs were real. On the other hand, did he ever have any evidence of...
You're not going to have any physical evidence, because anybody that gets physical evidence and they talk about it, it's going to disappear on them. I mean, the one of the best cases of that happening and the most detailed is in which Chris is, you know, is well aware, which is Ray Stanford's Sonora crash, in which there was some little bit of metal from the landing gear that was that he recovered. And the whole process he went through and the song and dance he had to do, and it disappeared during the examination, you know, when he had it, was having
right,
it analyzed. Yeah,
he blamed Dick
that?
Hall for 40 years for that one.
Yeah, but...
Okay, we've been blaming Dick Hall for a lot of things over the years, but he's no longer here to defend himself.
Yeah,
I'll tell you what, let's do the break, Ed, and then we'll cover this, and we'll cover, you know, where we go from here. Ed Komarek, the subject, exopolitics. We're talking also about whether there was a UFO crash in 1936 in the Black Forest in Germany, about statements made by the German scientists, and more with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you ready to order the official Paracast t-shirt? You asked, we answered. We're now taking orders for the official Paracast t-shirt. It comes in white, 100% cotton. The front of it features the same logo that we have on our community forums. On the back it says, Separating Signal from Noise. To order the official Paracast t-shirt, here's all you have to do. Visit our new online store at store.theparacast.com. One more time, that's store.theparacast.com. You can use a major credit card to place your order for the official Paracast t-shirt. Hey, neighbors, we have one more thing to talk about, and that's more merchandise at the official Paracast store. We have hats, we have jackets, we even have a flip video camcorder customized with the Paracast logo at the official Paracast store. It's all now available at the official Paracast store, store.theparacast.com.
Warning, this content is powerful and may cause others to reject your knowledge. If you want to know what happened to America, if you like cutting-edge information, if you need to convince someone that something different than what they believe is actually taking place, and to experience the true history of America you won't find anywhere else, get the new book, Satan's Show. Satan's Show is a hard-hitting look at what many know as the Antichrist and proof of a mind-control agenda. Learn how America was tricked into entering World War I and get over 9 hours of audio and over 700 reliable web links. Satan's Show is available in ebook and audio downloads. Click the special offer for $14.99 and you'll receive both, plus Operation Northwoods on audio free with purchase. Download today at satanshow.com. You will be shocked. You will be amazed. SatansShow.com.
As we age, we lose both strength and muscle mass. Undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows is nature's most powerful food to gain back lost muscle. Virtually all whey protein powders or drinks have been damaged during processing or are high in sugar. This damaged whey causes a significant loss in the ability of the body to build new muscle proteins. The high sugar content will stop all the benefits of your growth hormone from causing muscle repair. By giving your body easily absorbed, undamaged whey, free of added sugar, you may be able to gain back lost muscle and strength. One World Whey is truly undamaged whey protein powder free of added sugar. Both young and elderly are reporting increases in muscle strength and size without any additional exercise. Go to oneworldway.com, that's oneworldway.com, to read or hear some impressive testimonies to this effect. Or call 888-988-3325, that's 888-988-3325.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We have Ed Komarek. We're trying to find out on the Paracast with Gene and Chris just what's going on in terms of knowledge about ET. And understand, Ed, because somebody believes in UFOs, or accepts the possibility that some UFOs are spaceships, doesn't mean they have evidence to demonstrate that.
Well, it depends what you mean by evidence. Do you consider witness testimony from a credible person evidence?
I've got some quotes here from Herman Oberth.
You should be get down to the quote. There should be a quote down here somewhere.
Yeah, there's a good one here. Dr. Herman Oberth, who pioneered rocket design for the German Reich during World War II and later advanced rocket technology for the American manned space launches, cryptically stated, quote, "We cannot take the credit for our record advancement in certain scientific fields alone. We have been helped." When asked by whom, he replied, "The people of other worlds."
Okay, now look up Wouter von Braun, extraterrestrial. He's the other top rocket scientist.
Yeah. Here's another one. "It is my thesis that flying saucers are real and that they are spaceships from another solar system. There is no doubt in my mind that these objects are interplanetary craft of some sort. I and my colleagues are confident that they do not originate in our solar system."
If you're going to find hard evidence, we might as well just forget it, because you're not going to have any hard evidence.
Okay.
Because the evidence is going to be immediately confiscated. And it's happened over time and time again. And, you know, I was talking to Len Stringfield years ago when he was alive. And we were talking about Dr. Hynek, and Dr. Hynek having allegiance to the intelligence community, or to the Air Force first and to the public second. And Stringfield told me personally that Hynek thought he had some debris from a crash. And Hynek told him later, after the fact, that he didn't end up having it, but Hynek thought he did, that after he did this lecture, Hynek said that he had several Air Force people in the Air Force there to confiscate that material from him right there on the spot. And Hynek told him that. And then also, if you remember Jacques Vallée, Hynek told Jacques Vallée that he was getting money through the CIA through the McGraw-Hill cutout. And so you've got to understand that these guys, in the case of Ray Stanford, Hynek was very involved with Ray Stanford in that case and whatever. And so they knew immediately when there was evidence, and they know how to track the evidence, and that evidence is going to disappear. So, I mean, if you're looking for hard evidence, when you're dealing with a multi-billion, trillion-dollar cover-up of these technologies and whatever, you're not going to be able to get that evidence out to the public. Even if you start to get it out, it's going to be picked up through the intelligence networks. And then they're going to come down on you pretty hard. And there's case after case of situations like that where it either disappeared or, people had, came down hard on them.
Okay. So basically the answer is that you can't ever get evidence and present it because the powers that be will take it from you.
Well, it depends. It just quantifies what you mean by evidence. There are a lot of different kinds of evidence. You know, there's witness testimony is evidence in the court of law that can put somebody in prison for their whole life or even have them put to the electric chair.
Okay, so we understand that. Eyewitness testimony can certainly be used in a court of law to convict somebody. All right, we understand that. But I think part of it is also the acceptance of the facts around it, because we know that witness testimony can be unreliable. So it's not just the eyewitness testimony,
that's
it's
right.
supporting evidence. You know,
that's
well,
right. and
okay, he saw John Smith or whoever commit this crime. But
yeah,
we
any,
also
any
have him on,
law, any
on the webcam.
Any lawyer can undermine the, you know,
excuse me, excuse me. Let me finish. May I finish, Ed? Ed, got to finish. Okay, let me finish my statement, then you can finish yours. Okay, so we assume then if someone says, I saw John Smith commit this act, and we can basically find evidence that John Smith was in the neighborhood when he committed the convenience store robbery or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's some backup evidence. It's not just what someone says. If someone says mm-hmm. they were sexually abused, you're going to look at that and see if there's other evidence, trace evidence such as DNA, stuff like that.
Yeah.
They do with a woman what they call a rape kit. If you've seen, you know, Law and Order, you know about that stuff.
Yeah.
So there's going to be evidence. So it's not
okay.
just,
I can give
it's not
you
just
a
the eyewitness testimony.
Recently.
It's the accompanying evidence and also how reliable that person is.
That's right.
Okay.
And in court, you know, you have both sides present their case and they argue, you know, their case and they present their witness testimony and any physical evidence that they have. And then the court decides, you know, what the truth is and comes up with a sentence. So the judge comes up with a sentence. And so we're trying this in the court of public opinion, so to speak, I would suppose, you know, being that it's never really got into the, you know, been, it got into the courts, even though some people have talked about doing that and presenting it, you know, in a court type of environment. But now if you want to start to get into physical evidence, you know, in association with, say, alien contact, for instance, Bob Collins, I'm sure you're familiar with Captain Robert Collins. Okay. On his Facebook page, I think you should still find a link to a case that he's been involved in along with Sims, which a witness said that the Grays had been messing with him, and he took a sword and he whacked one and got blood. And that blood was then sent off by, I guess the guy's name was Levingood. Levingood, according to Bob. So, I mean, in that case, you not only have the witness testimony, but you do have alleged DNA or hemoglobin evidence or whatever. So, I mean, you can concentrate on those cases. If
okay, so let's look at, okay, the evidence then, where is it? Where is that DNA evidence?
Okay, let's go to Bob.
He sent it to the Grass Lakes Biophysical Laboratory up in Wisconsin, where W.C. Levingood has his lab and stuff there.
Yeah. So you can. Let's see.
We've offered an invitation for Bob to come on the show and talk about the case, but we haven't really got him to commit yet.
Uh-huh.
Well, I guess we'd like to see the results, that evidence from the lab.
Yeah, he'd be a good
Wouldn't
one,
that be nice?
Sure. Yeah, well, he said it's got pretty serious, though, and dangerous, and, you know, people have been, you know, harassed and whatever, and that's the kind of situation you're going to run into when somebody gets some real evidence, because
well,
that would blow the cover up.
It,
you know, if you got came up with real evidence and you could get it out to the media and you could get it out to the mass public, no more cover-up. So there's no way the intelligence communities and the people involved and the cartels involved in this are going to let that happen. And if, you know, if it starts, you know, they're going to stop it if they can. If not, they're going to destroy your reputation.
Okay, so basically, though, this may be true. I'm not going to say it's not. But also it could be used as an excuse. You could say, well, the reason I don't have evidence for this is because it was confiscated or the powers that be won't let me present it. I gave it to this laboratory and it disappeared. I sent the photographs off to be examined, and the photographs vanished. Couldn't find them.
Yeah,
so
that,
basically,
that false
but
narrative.
Is that also used as an excuse? I mean,
yeah,
I'm not saying what you're saying is not true. Ed, it works if you don't interrupt me. Okay? Okay? We're trying to be civil here. Okay. But I understand what you're saying. But the problem is here is that it's also a convenient excuse to say, wait a minute, they took the evidence, they won't let me present it. That can be an excuse also. How do I know that's true?
Yeah, I completely agree. Because, and that's basically is how do you tell the difference between a counterfeit dollar and a real dollar, especially if you if the counterfeit dollar is made by a real good counterfeiter. You know, so, you know, basically the bottom line is you're right. There are people and the UFO community is rife with these people that are creating false narratives based upon their exposure to the UFO community. So they're feeding information back through into a false narrative. And if you don't have collaborating evidence, you're really setting yourself up to go over a cliff with them. And a lot of people are doing that, and it's discouraging a lot of people in the field, and people give up once they've been had and they've been conned. They give up, and they don't go any further.
Okay, that kind of covers this issue of the UFO crash in the Block Forest. We have reports that may have happened, but we don't have evidence that ever occurred. Well, that evidence has been confiscated.
You would have to go back and study. Well, you're going to have to rely mostly, you know, you're probably just wasting your time if you're looking for some physical evidence, that solid evidence that's going to blow the cover-up wide open, because you're not, that would end the cover-up. There'd be no more cover-up at that time. So what we have to do in lieu of not having access to that kind of material and being able to get it out into the public domain, we have to rely on witness testimony and on the credibility of certain individuals like Oberth and Wannar von Braun, Ben Rich, you know, who said that we have the technology to take ET home, and it would take an act of God to get it out of the, you know, out of the corporations and whatnot into the public hands.
So, well, Ed, that leads us to you know, the logical progression in the conversation would be what you cover in chapter 3 of your book that's slowly being published online at your Blogspot, and that is the whole idea of the breakaway civilization, as I think Richard Dolan was one that coined it.
Okay, well, we'll go into the breakaway civilization, but we have to break away. With Ed Komarek and Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.